On this episode of Cox Talking Gamecocks, women's March Madness begins, baseball notches another win, and turns their focus to SEC play. Okay, here we go. Welcome to episode 140 of Cox Talking Gamecocks. I am your host, Tim Cox, where I will keep every episode from 1801 to 2001. And this might just be the mecca of weekends. Like, the weekend of all weekends is upon us. Obviously, the first two rounds of March Madness is cooking. That's always a fun time regardless. But you're telling me that we have St. Pat's on a Friday? St. Pat's on a Friday during March Madness? The first round of March Madness, mind you, when the games are all day? Unbelievable. Top 10 weekend of my life. I am so excited. What a day. Just everything is amazing if you're a sports fan here. And then for those of y'all who are celebrating St. Pat's and 5 points, if you are lucky enough to be doing that, I'm incredibly jealous. Have a brewski for me. Have some chicken fingers for me from the vendors there. Just have a good time. But regardless, this is your time to take off work. This is your time to call off that assignment, to push that group project, whatever it is. This is your weekend to be gluttonous and enjoy the natural phenomenon that is this calendar year with St. Pat's and March Madness coinciding. So that's my rant. I'm so excited for this weekend, if you couldn't tell. But let's look back at this week in USC athletics, and then I will preview what is coming up this weekend for the Gamecocks here. So I know I mentioned it last episode, but football spring practice is officially underway. They unveiled it with some badass videos, too, from the team's social media accounts. They just do such a fantastic job. But yeah, the boys are back on the field. I think they kicked things off on Tuesday. And really, everything that Shane Beamer has said, it's throwing a lot at this group, especially the offense, seeing what they're good at, what they're not so good at, and really taking it from there. He said that there's not really much of a depth chart at all at this point. They just have guys working together who are more so familiar with each other. But from all accounts, it's been high energy. The guys are raring to go. They seem to have really responded well to the off-season weight training program. Guys are bigger, faster, and stronger than they were at this point last year, which I think is very important to note. Shane Beamer kind of just slipped it in there in his press conference that point, but I think at times last year you were like, man, like, kind of getting out physicaled here. So to hear that across the board guys improved more than they did last off season as far as strength and conditioning, that's very, very cool to see. But then some scores here for y'all. Monday you had softball beat LSU 4-2, and then they lost to LSU 5-1. Women's golf lost to Texas 5-1. I don't care. Still horns down. And then they beat Arizona State 3.5-2.5. So I think it was a match play tournament style there. And then Tuesday on the men's golf team, you had Nathan Franks finish tied for fourth in the General Hackler Championship. That's a pretty good finish, all things considered. So shout out Nathan Franks. And then women's golf, they beat San Jose also to a score of 3.5-2.5. And then on Wednesday, softball was back in action. They defeated Presbyterian 9 3-1. So a lot going on, a lot of comings and goings from the athletic department this week, but no bigger, some would argue, than the women's basketball team, because March Madness is here. If you missed that in my opening rant about March Madness being here this weekend, March Madness is here. The big dance is upon us. And if it wasn't already, and if you hadn't said it had begun already, the quest to repeat titles is officially underway for this women's basketball team. South Carolina is your undisputed number one overall ranked seed in the tournament and is ready to get this thing going. Good news from the team was that point guard Kiera Fletcher, she practiced this week. I don't know what the plan is as far as if she's going to play in these first two rounds. I would imagine in the opening game, it probably doesn't make a whole heck of a lot of sense to play her at all. Maybe a few minutes just to see how she feels, but nevertheless, that is welcome news for anyone who is a fan of the Gamecocks. She brings experience, she brings depth, and that's great for the team here. Now, the women, they are in the Greenville region. I think the way they're doing it this year is there's just two big regions, really. So the women are in the Greenville region, but will be playing their opening rounds right home in Colonial Life. That must be so nice. I mean, talk about a reward. You had a kick-ass season, number one team in the country. You get to stay right home, sleep in your own bed, and then just kick ass while you're doing it here. And when you look at the bracket from where South Carolina is, there are quadrant, if you will, to be technical with y'all, you really do have to feel that it shapes up well for the Gamecocks. The number two team in our region is Maryland. Meh. The number three team is Notre Dame. Meh. And then the number four team is UCLA, who Carolina beat earlier this year. So it's not a situation where, at least in my mind, if the number two team in our region had been, let's just say, LSU or Tennessee, like a team that is more familiar with you, that maybe has given you, you know, a challenge at times, that would make me a little bit nervous. But when I see Maryland, Notre Dame, you know, I mean, no offense to their programs, they're very good, they're accomplished, but I see those as more favorable matchups potentially down the line than even like an Iowa, really. So very excited to see. And what are the ladies looking at in the opening weekend here? So first round, they are taking on the number 16 seed, Norfolk State. That game is at Friday, 2 p.m. If you haven't heard, Friday is St. Patrick's Day. Norfolk State went 26-6 this year and won the Mid-Eastern Athletic Conference. There's, you know, they did have a fine season, right? But no offense to them, but I feel like South Carolina just needs to come out and handle business in a big way in front of what will be a home crowd. You know, there's going to be folks visiting from around the country, but I would certainly imagine that it is very pro-Gamecock, considering it is in Columbia. Now, this is just a case of really your top overall seed, and you're going against this 16 seed, and they have the misfortune of going against us. So my crow to the game is keep the rotations fresh. This game should be over early, point blank, period. So if I'm Don Staley, like, yes, you want to make sure that everyone is crisp. You want to shake off any rust. It's been a while since this team has played against another team, but I wouldn't want to run everyone wild. You know, come fourth quarter, early in the fourth, I would rotate some fresh legs in, extend that bench, and keep the girls as fresh as you possibly could. Now, assuming all goes according to plan, the ladies will be in the round of 32 and will face off against the winner between South Florida, who is the 8th seed, and Marquette, the 9th seed. You know, naturally, as you move up in this tournament, the games become increasingly more difficult, but I would like to think that South Carolina would overmatch either of these teams quite frankly. So my crow to the game really stays the same in that I'd like to get a big game out of Victoria Saxton. You know, she is a veteran player, and if she can get on a hot streak and see some good results early in this tournament and see the ball go through the hoop a lot, I think that will pay great dividends later for the Gamecocks, especially allowing Dawn to really have the ultimate trust and reliability in three of her post players. After that round, assuming the seeding holds, right, and you move on, the ladies would be in action in the Sweet 16 that is next Saturday, the 25th. So, you know, knock on wood, cross your fingers, we are in the Sweet 16. I will preview the matchups in time for that. So, very excited to see this team get back in action. This is what we wait for. This is why we practice as fans, right? This is why we watch the team, we root them on. This is what it comes down to, a chance to defend as national champions. I'm so excited. Let's get it going, ladies. Which brings me to baseball. Now, before I jump into their scores and their series preview here, a quick note. Infielder Kevin Madden has entered the transfer portal. You know, I think it's a situation where I believe he has 1 year of eligibility left, had to make the decision sooner rather than later. He's kind of buried in the lineup right now. I don't think he's getting a whole lot of playing time. So trying to go somewhere, better his situation, and get some playing time before he moves on from college. So best of luck, Kevin. See you later. But this team was back in action for a midweek game against Presbyterian. I believe this was Tuesday. Yep, Tuesday. They got the victory 5-0. And while it wasn't this massive offensive output that we've seen a lot from this team this year, it was a very efficient day at the ballpark. You know, just go in, do your business, and get the hell out of there. Carolina got 3 runs in the second and 2 in the third, thanks in very large part to home runs from Talmadge LeCroy, Gavin Cassis, and Cole Messina. Just shout out Gavin Cassis. I mean, my goodness, guy comes in as a transfer and absolutely is lighting it on fire. Big time pickup there. But really, outside of those couple of opening innings, that was it. So from there, the pitching staff, they did the rest and they threw zeros all night. Matthew Becker was the opener. He got a no decision. Eli Jones was your winning pitcher. But all told, the Gamecocks used 5 pitchers over the game and only allowed 3 hits total. Just a fantastic job by the entire bullpen and everyone involved in this game, defense, offense, and otherwise. A very clean game from the Carolina Gamecocks there. Some player highlights for you here. The 3 guys, you guessed it. Gavin Cassis went 1-for-3 with 1 ribby. Cole Messina went 1-for-4 with a ribby. And Talmadge LeCroy went 1-for-4 with 2 RBI. So again, just a very efficient day at Founders for the Gamecocks. But up next for South Carolina is SEC play. Conference play is here, y'all. That time of the season finally rolled around. Did I say this is a big weekend? Yeah, this is a big weekend. This is an all-time weekend. So you got March Madness, St. Pat's, and SEC play for Carolina baseball. And you really couldn't ask to be in a better spot if you're a South Carolina fan for this baseball team. 17-1 record, number 16 ranked in the country, and you are looking entirely the part. So this weekend, South Carolina takes on Georgia, that is in Athens. Georgia is currently 13-4 on the year. They've had a couple of weird games that they've dropped. You had some small schools beat them, like Jacksonville State, shout out the Gamecocks, Charleston Southern, among others. So they haven't really been rolling like the Gamecocks have. In the SEC right now, in the East, mind you, they are 6th in the standings. So obviously it's early in the year and you have been playing your division. But nevertheless, 2nd to last in the standings are the Georgia Bulldogs. But, you know, as we know, all bets are off when you get to league play. So you better buckle up. right? The Gamecocks cannot rest on their laurels or think that things will come easy just because they kind of have to this point, because they won't. You know, these teams are familiar with each other. These guys have played each other in years past. This is a rivalry between these two schools, and you can't go in there thinking you're 17-1 and that it's going to come easy. Your pitching rotation is the same as it has been with Sanders, Hall, and Mahoney. So these guys need to be on their A game, but this is what you look for, right? Especially with a guy like Will Sanders and even Noah Hall. You know, they pitched well in SEC play last year, and you're going to need to rely on them. And this is a big series to do so. And, you know, my crow to the series here, it's sort of one of those intangible ones. It's just be scrappy. You know, the attitude we saw against Penn, those last two games against Clemson, that has to be there for the whole series, right? This Gamecocks team has to continue this revenge tour that they've been on. And you have to have that mentality in every SEC series. You know, like against Penn, they tried to come at you and Carolina didn't give an inch. It didn't always come easy, right? There was that 1-0 shutout, but yet you found a way to win. Against Clemson, yeah, you had to be woken up a little bit. But after that happened, you were rolling. And then especially when Clemson thought they had an edge on you, you stood up and you said, hell no. That's not the case. So if Georgia scores against this pitching staff, this team needs to take it personally and answer back and then some, right? If Carolina gets men on base, they have to absolutely take advantage of that and then some and drive multiple guys in at a time. Defense is going to be at a premium. You can't have silly errors and things like that. Same goes with the base running, right? I've been a big fan of the base running that we've seen from this team so far this year. You have to have your head on a swivel. You have to be smart out there. You have to be aggressive, right? And that's what's won this game. Excuse me. That's what has won this team some games. There we go. Maybe I started celebrating St. Pat's early. No, I'm just kidding. But this team has to come prepared. And I think they will. I think you've seen this team approach the game a little differently than you did certainly last year. And going into this, if you can have a very good showing in your first SEC series, on the road, mind you, if you can take care of business and go down to Athens and steal a series, that could set you up huge. Huge for momentum-wise, but then even down the line as we're getting into the SEC tournament and everything like that. So, you know, it should be a fun one, y'all. And, I mean, really, the season begins now. You know, this was a great way for this team to get their feet underneath them. But now the real season begins, and I'm as excited as ever. Let's go. Big, big weekend for the 10,000th time. Let's go, Cox. But with that, that wraps up this episode. Please follow me on social media. Twitter is Cox Gamecocks. Instagram is just the name of the show, Cox Talking Gamecocks. And please like, subscribe, and review the podcast. I appreciate all y'all. Go Cox.